Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He covers the NBA for ESPN. It's Tim Bontemps. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Tim, it's Gary. Appreciate you being here. I apologize for getting to you a little later than I had planned. That's on me. Let's start with Steve Kerr and his pregame availability yesterday, where he spent 3 minutes talking about the mass murder, 19 children killed at an elementary school in Texas yesterday. Obviously, Steve, this hits him harder than it hits some because he lost his father to a murder, specifically gun violence. But I'm confident other coaches and NBA players feel the same way he feels, or at least similarly. Why do you think more do not speak out so publicly and passionately the way that Steve did yesterday?
Well, I actually was busy doing live TV, Gary, because as you know, in live TV, when the arena shuts down for a late shoot around right before the game, we had to move everything around. So it was good you were late anyway.
Okay,
so
good.
All good on that. As for the coaches, I mean, look, I think in general, I think it's sort of difficult to talk about that stuff, right? And I think for everybody, they have a different level of comfort with that stuff, right? Some people choose to keep their thoughts to themselves. Some people choose to express their thoughts publicly, right? And you know, Kendrick Perkins, one of my colleagues now at ESPN, he talked on TV this afternoon about how his mom died of gun violence. I didn't even, frankly, know that, right? So I think for everybody, it's just their own personal preference and how they handle that kind of stuff. Steve, as you mentioned, his father was assassinated. He was a professor in Beirut in the 80s and got shot and killed. And, you know, he's had to acutely deal with this in a way that, you know, maybe other people haven't. But, you know, Ime Udoka, the coach of the Celtics, who played a bunch of years in San Antonio, coached a bunch of years in San Antonio, he talked about his experience with this today, and he has a 10-year-old son who's in fourth grade. So, I think it just depends on what your personal comfort level is and how you feel about talking about that stuff publicly or privately.
Let's talk basketball. The Mavericks beat the Warriors last night, 119-109. Luka got 30, 14, and 9, and afterwards said, "We still believe we can win this series." Do you still believe, not that they will win this series, but that they reasonably could win the series?
I mean, I don't know if I'd say reasonably, Gary, since nobody's ever done it, right? I mean, but I do think it's not impossible, especially in today's NBA, when teams shoot the ball in ways that they haven't before, right, from three-point range. I mean, we've seen wild swings in every game in these playoffs, it feels like, and a lot of it just comes down to who gets hot from three. And, you know, even if you look at the series, look at these first three games of the series. In games two and three, I mean, game one, Dallas got smoked, right? Game two, they were up a bunch, missed a bunch of threes in the second half, lost. Game three was a nip-and-tuck game. Dallas missed a bunch of threes, and they lost. If they make a bunch of threes the next two games, it could be 3-3, right? Like, do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. I would think it's more likely than not that Golden State gets this done tomorrow in the Bay. But, you know, I thought last night that Golden State sort of messed around with that one and kind of let it go. I was like, you know, we'll get game five in Oakland or in San Francisco, I should say now, and they probably will. But I'd be careful messing around like that in games in the playoffs these days because, you know, as we've seen time and again, things change really fast with the three-point shot. And I think, you know, we haven't seen a 3-0 comeback yet, but we're going to at some point. And why not this Dallas team with, you know, arguably the best player in the series and a bunch of guys that they all get hot at the same time, could put up 140, 145 points a night.
Like you mentioned, it got away from the Warriors last night. They made it somewhat interesting in the final minutes. Like, Steph even got put back into the game late when, you know, it looked like, okay, maybe they can actually come back and win this thing. And then it got away from them again. Yep. I will never question Steve Kerr for expressing himself the way he did yesterday. But I wonder if there's a connection between these things. When, you know, he is before the game saying the basketball stuff doesn't matter, and Steph Curry is tweeting video of it saying, watch this as much as you watch the game. Is it possible that, like, and I don't mind that they weren't focused, but just speaking matter-of-factly, is it possible they weren't focused the way they otherwise would have been or could have been focused if not for that tragedy in Texas?
I mean, maybe, except that Jason Kidd basically did the same thing. Right, and I'm not saying that to say that they weren't potentially more affected or anything like, or that they're, that I'm not trying to say they shouldn't have been impacted or anything. You know what I mean?
I understand.
But like ultimately, both team and the guys in Dallas live in Texas,
right?
So like, I think to me, what it spoke to more than anything was Golden State, as you well know, right? You followed the Warriors for a long time, being out in the Western Conference. Like, they tend to have a history of screwing around, right? They have a history of screwing around the court and committing turnovers. It's been pretty costly. I mean, we all remember in Game 7 against the Cavs, Steph threw a behind-the-back pass 200 minutes ago straight out of bounds, right? Like, that's just sort of the way the Warriors have always played. They've always been free and loose, and it's driven Steve Kerr crazy sometimes, and I think last night would, you know, again, I'm 100% not trying to minimize what happened or minimize any of the impact of it or anything else. I think it's just more likely it was that than any other residual hangover beyond that.
Tonight we get Game 5, Boston-Miami. It's been a strange series because it's tied 2-2, but the games haven't been competitive. How do you make sense of that?
Nope. Well, it's very simple to me, Gary. I mean, it's maybe the most reductive series I've ever covered. If the Boston Celtics don't mess around and don't turn the ball over, they're going to win by 15 to 20 points. I think that's the way this is going to go. In the two games the Celtics have lost, they've committed 1,000 turnovers. In the two games they've won, they've committed, I think, 18 total. Right? That's the series. It's, can the Celtics just stay locked in, do what they're supposed to do, and not mess around? They do that, I feel very confident they're going to win the game. I think they're the far better team, and that's before you account for Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler and P.J. Tucker all dealing with injuries. Bam Adebayo in the games Robert Williams has played this series has been a complete non-factor. I think it's more likely than not, as my colleague Adrian Wojnarowski has reported, that Robert Williams is going to play today in Game 5. So if he and Marcus Smart both are able to go, and the Celtics have their full complement of players for the first time in this series, I just think they're the far better team, and I think they should beat this Miami Heat team, which, as we've seen, Garrett, when the Celtics don't turn the ball over, the Heat cannot score. Cannot score at all. In the two games in Boston, Game 3, Heat scored 39 points in the first quarter. They scored 70 the final three quarters, and that was with the Celtics throwing the ball over the yard. In Game 4, they had 42 points with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and that was Victor Oladipo scoring 20. So, you know, you put all that together, and, you know, if they don't turn the ball over, the Celtics should win this game.
Yeah, the Celtics are a remarkable story, and we talked about this throughout the season, but this was a team that was, you know, under 500 in January. People really questioning the first-year coach, really questioning whether they need to split up the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown thing. What's the simplest explanation for how they went from that to a team that really might win the NBA title?
I'm going to hop off after this, Gary, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I've got to do some more TV, but I will just say that, look, the basic thing that happened was the Celtics traded away Dennis Schroeder and Josh Richardson. They brought in Derek White, and they're playing Peyton Pritchard. You combine that with getting healthy. They now have a roster that fits. They have a roster that plays together, and they have maybe the best defensive team I've ever seen among their top seven players. In my, you know, my time covering the NBA, I think their top seven guys are the best group of defenders I've seen because they're all bigger than average at their position, they're all incredibly agile, and they can play against anybody that they're against out on the court. And that's why you've seen them, even against Giannis Antetokounmpo, against Jimmy Butler, against these different guys in the playoffs, completely shut down their opponents time and time again. And it's why if they can just stay out of their own way and get out of the series, I think they're going to beat the Warriors if they advance and win the title if they stay healthy. But it just comes down to, again, them staying focused and locked in the way they need to on the offensive end, sharing the ball, hitting open threes, and playing better defense than, like I said, I've ever seen anybody play.
Thank you, brother. Go be a television star.
Appreciate you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. That's Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Game 5, Celtics Heat. As scheduled for tonight, FTX Arena down in Miami.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.